Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, and here we go. Deeper concepts evermore. Why? Sometimes you need the advanced course, and here it is, on health. Key concept today, the relationship between the stem cell and your ability to generate endorphins. Endorphins, the happy chemicals. Mentioned them before on the show with the intention of having you see the hookup, the link between the organs that are part of your nervous system, the ventricular system, the pineal gland, the macrophage, in a larger sense, the immune system, the endocrine system, all connecting together so that in times of crisis, those dying cells, those apoptotic cells, a word I know you love to hear, senescent cells, invalid cells, malignant cells. Nature calls upon the endorphin system, the opiate system, the happy chemical system, and recruits them into the cell, binding them so that the stem cell can activate. Critical link here. In short, you don't get happy, you die. That's as straight and as unpleasant and yet as potentially enlightening as I can put it to you. I tell you, sincerely, I wish I could get away from this reality. Meaning, I thought it was going to be simple. I thought if you went to school, that's what my father told me, and you got good grades, that it was simple. How many of you can relate to that? How many of you found yourself going to school, walking the talk, getting that report card perfect, graduating graduate school, only to find out it wasn't simple. It wasn't simple in medicine for me. I thought it was techniques and knowledge and insight and mastering therapies that took people to the other side. Those people that were going to heal, I thought, would be the product of superior medicine. I never saw that. I didn't. Still haven't. Somewhere along the line, for those people that do fix a symptom, fix a chronic syndrome, every single one of them, this show concerns everybody, no matter where you're at, whether you're healthy and concerned with preserving life radiantly, or you've been sick your whole life. It comes down to being able to initiate the cascade of chemical sequences in the body, producing a large quantity of what we call the endorphin, or the enkephalin, or the dynorphin, because those initiate sequences within the cell that regenerate the tissue. Now, we can talk about this. You know, what the bleep do we know? You can listen to Deepak Chopra all day long. We can read about it in books. But what's missing, what is characteristically missing, is the physical experience of it on the level required to cure the disease. Do you hear that? This jargon of get happy and heal, emotions cause disease, this isn't new to many people. To some of you, it's new. To lots of people, you live in oblivion regarding how your diseases and symptoms are rooted in your emotions. You thought you got rid of that, but it's still stuck in your body, but you don't know that. And if someone suggests that, you look at them blankly and you say, gee, that's not me. That's when I was 3 years old, and it's not there anymore. I dealt with that. Lots of people live in that type of oblivion. And then we have lots of people who will acknowledge and understand the relationship between the symptom, the disease, so on and so forth, and the emotional fiber, the emotional matrix. I've been betrayed. I live in fear. I'm angry. I'm resentful. People understand that, but what they don't understand is how to purge and how to have the physical experience of purging negative imprints in the tissue. So at best, we've introduced a jargon, a vernacular, a lingo, and it's nice, and it sounds good. Candace Pert, I talked about her in past shows, Molecules of Emotion. What was wonderful about science starting to understand these mechanisms, meaning that chemicals are produced in the brain that have receptor sites in your diseased organs. And those receptor sites for those ligands, those endorphins and cephalins, dynorphins, will completely and totally change the chemistry and physiology of the cell. It will rise the cell from its senescent or apoptotic state. It will raise it from the dead. It will talk to the stem cells. Candace Pert, other neuroscientists, increasingly are showing us that in the tissues, there is a chemistry behind these statements. Now, you don't have to be a chemist to sense the intuitive intelligence of this. Common sense. As Glenn Beck, I'll make a comparison, is always screaming, common sense. Have we lost our common sense? Is great common sense in attaching to the statement that what you get when you pray, what you get when you love, what you get when you touch just might have a chemical effect in the body sufficient to initiate cascades of tissue regeneration far beyond what we thought. And then, of course, we have the naysayers. But our very science is pointing to these things. Thus the work of Solomon Schneider, thus the work of Candace Pert, and the list goes on and on. What I want to give you over the next 50 minutes today is a more tangible, a functional perspective on how to have that experience. Your daily experience must, it is imperative upon you, if you have any serious intention of moving the ball into a healing, a real healing, it is imperative upon you to master the endorphin experience. You must understand in the deepest part of yourself the physical experience of the endorphin. The ability, those of you who have had addictions, cocaine, heroin, crack, alcohol, sex, whatever that addiction might be, those of you who have had addictions or have addictions, you must understand that the body's telling you, your behavior is telling you that your very, very organization, your physiology is designed to have that endorphin rush, that high experience. You may be going about it incorrectly. But if your choice is between an addictive lifestyle and a depressed one, by 50 years old, you're going to conclude that the picture's bleak. If you're designed for a high addictive experience in life, in other words, if you're designed by virtue of your DNA. And this is genetics. Some people, you know them as the addictive personality types, demand a higher experience in daily life. And they seek out. We understand these behavioral patterns as responses to difficult childhoods and pain and all sorts of negative imprints. But what I'm proposing to you is to consider that lots of people seek a high experience day to day because they're engineered that way. And for lack of it, your cells will begin to degrade by the time your hormonal system is no longer capable of providing you with the reserve energy to compensate you. By the time the fifth decade comes, your tissues will become symptomatic and then ultimately diseased. And all that means is that your creative experience is not being met on the day-to-day. What's been put into your body, what your natural engineering has provided you, is the endorphin system. So let's take a look at the endorphin system. If you're new to the show, wow, I respect the fact that that was a lot to listen to. Those of you who listen weekly, you know where I'm coming from. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. I've got three articles today, a bunch of pictures. Look at the pictures. Let's start with the pictures. Picture number one, nice and simple. Endorphins. We call it endogenous morphine. Endogenous morphine, beta endorphins. High concentrations of endorphins in the brain produce a sense of euphoria, enhance pleasure, suppress pain. Low concentrations of endorphins make people feel anxious, and they focus on their pain. This isn't a little statement. This is a massive statement. Endorphin production is hereditary. And due to this, its production level varies from one person to another. That is something to think about. Of course, an addictive society, is going to find what? Well, that's the typical thing with drugs. What drugs do is they produce artificial, by modulating the synapses, they produce false levels of euphoria, of an endorphin experience. And then eventually, the nervous system, it modulates itself so the effect is no longer felt as strongly. And you have to increase your dosages. And then finally, when the dosages taper off because they're plateauing in their effect, you're left without your own endogenous or your own natural system. And this is what we call the withdrawal, or the point at which the amounts and the dosages plateau. They don't work anymore. And this is very much built into our heredity, our genetics. But what I'm addressing today for those of you in the audience, that many of you can relate to a deep, vigorous need to have the high, high daily experience. And without it, a very, very low felt existence, depression. Mania to depression, more on the side of depression, and everything that comes with that. This is telling you that the ability to counter that, to produce the endorphin, is variable from person to person. You may be set up, you may be engineered by your natural genetics to have a very high experience of life, and you may be living a lifestyle where you're producing only a small percentage of your potential. And this is where the problems begin. Now, what does this mean to the cell? Well, to the cell, it means that the immune system cannot speak to the endorphin system. And the immune system, you see, we understand the immune system incorrectly, or we understand it only superficially. The immune system is not just the system that fights disease. The immune system is the system that talks to the stem cell. The macrophage stimulates the stem cell. In diseased states, the body calls upon the endorphin system. I'll show this to you in a couple of articles. So really, the consequence then of not being capable of producing prodigious amounts of endorphin, of not mastering the endorphin experience, and we'll get to some of the specifics of that later, but the consequence of not being able to do that is that you cannot talk to the immune system to talk to the stem cells, which is going to be necessary to repair the disease state or the chronic symptomatic state. Reach a little deeper. Put those concepts together. They're large. Fundamentally, they're worth everything to you. It turns the, oh yes, laugh your way to healing into something more tangible. My finding, what about you? My finding is that unless you can see more of the science, more of the particulars, when it's important, when it really counts, you lose faith. Meaning if somebody tells you that the way out of your diseased state is to laugh more and love more and exercise more and so on and so forth, to me, the net effect of that is a far cry from really understanding it in the depths of yourself. And a lot of people need the analysis. They need shows like this. They need data. They need scientists talking before they can go back and translate it into their daily experience. So let's move along here. Let's take a look at something that I think is fascinating. As always, an article from Science. Here we go. Click to the view the full article. That's at the top of the page. Endorphins heal skin destruction. Now look at that article. Endorphins heal skin destruction. Now let's look at the first paragraph. Hope you're following along. There is evidence that neuropeptides, especially the opiate receptor agonists, are involved in wound healing. Right there, that's a mind blower. Evidence that neuropeptides, especially opiate receptor agonists, are involved in wound healing. We have previously observed that beta endorphins, the endogenous ligand for the mu opiate receptor, stimulates the expression of cytokeratin 16 in a dose-dependent manner in human skin organ cultures. All right, big words for what? They know that skin. Why do we study skin? We study skin because it's easy to study. You can grow it. You can look at it. You can touch it. It's not an invasive process to study skin. So there's advantages for that in vivo or in vitro, in the lab or in the live organism. So that's why we study skin, and it's important because we see that the skin will mirror the rest of the body. It's okay to jump from if it happens in the skin, it happens in the liver. If it happens in the skin, it happens in the brain. Now, it's not always the case, but usually it's the case. That's why you find a lot of these articles that are talking about the skin. So here we have the skin. There we have the beta endorphin. The beta endorphin's the ligand. There are receptors in the skin for the endorphins. There's an article. A little bit longer. Opioid peptides are produced by neurons in the central and peripheral nervous system. Cells from other organs are also able to produce and secrete opiates. However, such as enkephalins and endorphins. Huge. It's telling you that not only the brain and the spinal cord can produce the opiate, but there it is. This is a peer-reviewed, hardcore article. You got a bunch of scientists that are backing it. And there's many like this in the literature. It's basically telling us before Candace Pert discovered the opiate receptor in the 70s, this wasn't postulated, not scientifically. Now it's almost we're looking backwards. But really, this is the cutting edge. Because the implications of it for you, my audience, are massive. It's telling you that your own organs produce the endorphins. And it's telling you that an inflammatory disease condition, in this case the skin, demand the production of the endogenous ligand, of the opiate, of the enkephalin, possibly of the dynorphin, 900 times stronger than morphine. There's another endorphin called dynorphin that's 900 times stronger than morphine. And the body to heal is going through this. This is why when people heal, invariably, healing becomes a blessing. I have never seen anybody in 23 years heal anything without finding God. Healing is a blessing. And people, after they heal, will say, you know, that disease in disguise was a blessing. Now, what they infer, what they evolve to, what they come to feel moving down the pipe of health, is the endorphin experience. If you cleanse enough, if you stretch enough, if you live right enough, if you persist enough, if you go through the long, dark, black journey of disease, of curing symptom to health, sooner or later, you start to have the happy experience. And if we go in and measure the process, what this article, of course, is saying to you is that you finally hit critical mass in the endorphin rush. I've seen few do this, admittedly. I think our potential to do this is almost unlimited. And I think I've seen few people do this because few people can attach to it. I'm proud to say I've seen enough of my clients do this. Not a lot, but enough. Enough to have verified, from people whose bodies have resolved cancers to people whose bodies have resolved chronic long-term illness, they start getting high in their body each and every day. This is not a cerebral process. This is a physical experience that science understands as a cascade of chemicals. And don't mistake where the horse is and where the cart is. It's the process that we call healing that produces the endorphins, which reciprocate back into the healing. You don't visualize this. You don't do this from the neck up. You do this from the core of your being by participating in the various exercises of health. Does that make sense to you? Does that hit your common sense? 714-850-1007. We're going to discuss this topic tomorrow. I've got one spot left. We're maxed out already. I've got a full, 20-something people coming. I still have a few more chairs. One or two more people. 714-850-1007. Also, if you're in the depths of your own illness and you want to evolve yourself over time, this doesn't happen overnight. You have been torn. You have been tattered. You have been anxiety-driven. You have been depressed. You are covered in a shell, a web of noxious fibrin, of stagnant blood, of highly nociceptive chemicals, and you have to peel yourself to the endorphin rush. Make no mistake about it. You have been given. Nature has given you. God has given you all the tools, but you don't get there overnight. This is the journey. Healing is a journey. Why do you come in of the opinion that the ball's got to move in 6 weeks or 12 weeks? It takes you 40 or 50 years to destroy yourself. So how do you expect to move a ball in 6 weeks sometimes? You who sit there with your arms crossed in your skepticism, all with good rationalization, yes, you've been ripped off by everybody, starting with your mother and your father and your family and your friends, and now your medical doctors, and now your holistic practitioners. So you've got an hour or two, at tops a month. You have to reconsider by understanding the process. So don't go by blind faith. Take the time to understand that by the time it takes you to get to a physical experience of bliss in your body, of a regenerative glow, of what in the East we call the pranic experience, by the time the chi begins to flow and you are in a state of bliss, you may be in the game for a while. But against the number of years, the decades it took for you to get hurt, for you to destroy yourself, for you to deal and to develop the chronic symptom, well, what's 6 months against 40 or 50 years? And what's your choice? And this is the point. So, wow, I put on there. Wow. Opiates are produced by neurons in the central and peripheral nervous system. Cells from other organs are also able to produce and secrete enkephalins and endorphins. That's huge. Take a look at the other picture, at the other article. First article, endorphin receptors in rat organs. Yeah, we have to study the rat because it's kind of difficult to dissect out people's organs and look for opiate receptors. Okay? So we're using rats who want to donate themselves. But look at this. With the use of 125-acetyl human beta endorphin, specific binding sites for beta endorphin were identified in the liver, the kidney, the adrenal, spleen, and testes of adult male rats. Unbelievable. This is what Candace Pert developed. Our understanding that every organ is waiting to receive the opiate, and every organ produces opiates. And the brain produces a lot of opiate. We used to think it was just the brain. Pert received her fame and almost her own Nobel Prize for discovering the opiate receptor in the brain, the morphine receptor, way back, I think it was 72. Get her book, Molecules of Emotion, fantastic story, autobiography of what it takes and all the betrayal. And we lost Candace Pert, I think it was a year or two ago. Perhaps the strain of it all was too much. Perhaps she could only understand as a scientist so much. Perhaps the stress of inquiry was encountered by the depth of her own endorphin experience. Not that that's a criticism, but sometimes it's the cost of the game. But here's this article. These are peer-reviewed journals. This doesn't get into the literature unless it's been verified many times. People's Reputations, Rubenstein here, Eske, the names at the top from endocrinology journals. People just don't say things. In the science game, if you say something and it's not really backed and your work isn't good, your career is over. You don't work again. You don't get funding again. You ripped off the people that funded your work. So you have to understand the integrity behind this stuff. It's why we call it science. It's not some street vendor, some snake oil salesman at a bazaar. But look at what it's saying. Again, it's saying, these are in your organ systems. All right. You read the science later. Let's go on the assumption that, in fact, we have the euphoria chemicals that are being produced by every organ, brain and nervous system combined, and we have receptors in every organ. And let's understand the implication of the first article. Endorphins heal skin destruction. So it's not only that these phenomena occur and they give us euphoria. Let's just forget for a moment the psychological, the psycho-spiritual implications of that. Let's understand it just in terms of healing diseased tissue. Inflamed tissue. Wait a minute. You're not diseased. You're not even symptomatic. Are you inflamed? Well, if you answer yes, pat yourself on the back in that you understand. Inflammation is part of life. There's oxygen. There's carbon dioxide. There's inflammation. All living systems are on one side of the inflammatory fence or the other. Your free radical antioxidant balances are always trying to keep you on the side of less than more inflammation. But this article here is saying that the endorphin is a critical part of what we call the anti-inflammatory response. In other words, tissues regenerate in the face of pro-inflammatory chemicals at another level in the presence of the endorphin. Tissues regenerate at another level in the presence of the anti-inflammatory endorphin. This is why laughter heals disease. Laughter, well, come on, laughter. Well, look, laughter's good. Okay, laughter's good. Look at picture number three. Go to picture number three. What increases endorphins? Exercise, laughter, prayer. Living in the present time, looking at the good things. Friends do, pets do. Forgiveness does, gratitude. What decreases endorphins? Being a couch potato, anger, stress, worry. Isolation, living in guilt, resentment, so on and so forth. To some of you, this isn't new. But the question is, are you deepening your understanding? Now here is, I assure you, you are not allowed to say what I'm about to tell you is not new to you. I'm about to tell you that the countermeasure or the process, you have to get this, through which you can be assured that your diseased tissues are bathing in endorphins. The process through which you can be assured that your diseased tissues are bathing in endorphins relates to the word prana. Prana in Eastern Indian culture, chi in Asian culture, universal life force in Western culture. I will give to you the halo around the head of the Christian saints. There is no culture that did not have an understanding of this. Do not be arrogant or vain. Do not be ignorant enough to think that all people from all places have understood this if they were sincere in their hearts and their minds. If they were living righteously, cultures have always had some sense of this. Right living produces a chemistry internally that allows the body to feel its bliss. Now, the question to you on whatever level you're on, can you intensify that through training? Can you participate in regimented ordeals so that you can bring that experience to critical mass? Because you must, or you will not heal. That's the journey that you're on. So your low back pain that was once a week or once a month is now once a day. It went from once a day to every hour. It went from every hour to all the time. It never kept you up at night. Now it does. Same with that heartburn. That tumor that was kept at bay is now larger than your organ. Name the disease. Name the illness. Name the symptom. Well, if you have to turn it around, then you have to engage in a process that's far beyond what most people call healing today. Healing is not an herb. Healing is not an exercise. Healing is not a massage. Healing is not a prayer. Healing is the totality of these things that summate, that all coalesce to critical mass in the body. And that's the point at which you will have a pranic experience. That's the point at which, be assured, the opiate response in your body is of increasingly sufficient concentration to regenerate tissue, and that means into the stem cell. And this is why these opiates have so much to do with healing, as the article suggests. Think of your body like this. Here's another perspective on what you're up to. So look at this another way. Journey with me another way. By the way, if you're new to the show, truly new to the show, you have by now noted this is a truly unique experience. This is integrated. It's asking you to pull a bunch of concepts together. It's asking you to use your common sense. It's asking you to study. It's asking you to use multiple faculties. If you're that kind of person, you love this show. And the only reason I came to this point is I didn't see results if people didn't do this. And I know they don't exist if people don't do this. We say they do. Believe me, I've been there. Over the years, being asked different presentations, different radio shows, to speak about things effectively, to exaggerate them. The media exaggerates. We help a person, we mitigate a symptom, and all of a sudden they're cured. We make these lies all the time, across the board. I hear them everywhere. And when the scientists come in and say, where's the data? We choke, because we don't have it, because we didn't do it. There's a big difference between a cure and symptomology improvements. And you got to understand that. And yet, you can hit the home run. You can cure your disease. You can eliminate your symptomology. These things do happen. Not often for reasons stated, but they do. And they can happen more. But you've got to go deeper. I will never stop telling you that until I'm satisfied. Let's look at the equipment. Let's look at the equipment you were given to reach the endorphin state, the true endorphin state. Let's look at picture number 20. There it is. Simple picture of a guy in a kneeling state with all his muscles defined. The muscle. The muscle is a tissue. And that tissue has to be spoken to. It has to be manipulated. You got to clean it. You got to stretch it. You got to pull it across its bone. You got to shake the garbage out of it. And intertwined into that muscle is picture number 18. Now take a look at that. Picture 18. Wonderful picture of the connective tissue, the fascia. You've heard me talk about this many times. I want you to put concepts together now. Muscles, fascia. Muscles, fascia. Now, picture 19, the skin. Getting touched, sensually touched. I did not say sexually. I said sensually. Being sensually touched, the hallmark of massage. Being touched through the skin, so that the skin is affected. Being touched through the fascia, being touched through the muscular system. All good. That's first base. First base. First base. That will help. That will produce relaxation. That will produce endorphins. Those endorphins will drive, ultimately, the pranic experience. Ultimately, it will drive the stem cell experience. Ultimately, it will drive tissue regeneration. Ultimately, it will drive mitigation of your symptom or elimination of your symptom or your disease. But ultimately, not there. You have to go deeper. Picture number 14, number 21. Go to picture number 21. There, the dural tissue. That's the skin of the brain. That brain becomes a spinal cord, and both brain and spinal cord. So look at picture 22. Picture number 22, that's also the dural tissue around the spinal cord. We have dural tissue around the brain, dural tissue around the spinal cord. Those tissues, when you get to the point where you or someone can access the tension in those tissues, you're past second base. That is not a cursory. That is not a preliminary. That is not a elementary response. If you can affect those tissues, just the way you get your tissues affected when you touch your muscles, just the way when you stretch your tendons, just the way when you caress the skin, when you can get the tissues around the brain and the spinal cord to begin to melt, to expand, to pulse differently. You're doing everything Candace Pert, Deepak Chopra, what the bleep do we know, so on and so forth, are yakking about, whether they're having that experience or not. When that dural tissue unwinds, we call it, you'll be having that experience. And that is a process. It's a process that you take to your cancer. It's a process that you take to your fibromyalgia. It's a process you take to your arthritis. It's a process you take to your low back pain. It's a process you take to your schizophrenia, your lupus, your scleroderma, your ankylosing spondylitis, your rheumatoid arthritis, your IBS, your colitises, your Epstein-Barr. It's a process that you bring to everything. Because that's where the stem cells begin to proliferate. It's where the marrow starts to dump its stem cells. It's where you really see people start to change. Is that you? If you want that, you have to come get it. If anything I'm saying to you catches your interest, then you have to come and get it. You have to earn towards it. You have to learn towards it. You have to have faith. You have to use your intellect to sustain your faith. Most of you need to use your intellect to find your faith. You need to be reasoned to it, educated to it, cajoled to it, argued to it, debated to it. You need to have your pipes cleaned so you can start to see the beauty. And some of you come ready. And when people come ready, they heal fast. That's who doctors always make their poster kids. Right? You hear them all out there. You hear Mercola. You hear David Wolf. You hear Bob Marshall. You hear this, that, the other thing. You hear people talking about these miracles they have experienced over the years. Those things do happen. They don't happen often, but they happen when people are ready. My counsel to you is to get ready, use your intellect. Don't be back in the 60s when really this was so new. If you downed a vegetable or a vitamin supplement or ate organic food, you thought you were way ahead of the curve. Don't be like that. Really bring yourself to this like you've brought yourself to everything else that was worth it in your life. Because the payback is 100 times your investment. So we're talking about getting to the dural tissue. And beyond the dura, picture 23. The ventricular system of the brain. The skin, the muscles, the tendons, the fascia, the dural tissue. To the ventricular system of the brain. Look at that. The heart of the brain. In the middle of your skull. Between your ears, something lurks there that looks like that. I want you to take a moment and take a look at that. Because when you combine that reality with the pineal gland, go to the next one, picture 25, the pineal gland. Look at that little red arrow, the pineal, next to the hypothalamus, next to the pituitary. Look at that gland. That gland, if you look at picture 26, that gland has been satirized, but it's been depicted as the high center, as the seat of the soul, as Descartes put it. Descartes, who made the deal with the Vatican to separate spirituality and science. Descartes, the mathematician, the philosopher, said that in the pineal sat the seat of the soul. The Vatican duly shut him up. But it is in the literature that something about that gland had something to do with the soul. Make no mistake about it. From the skin to the fascia, to the muscles, to the tendons, to the dural tissue, to the ventricular system of the brain, to the pineal gland, we have a central nervous system, a peripheral nervous system capable of producing these chemicals where receptors for these chemicals abound. It's there. It's waiting for you to activate them. And we all do these things already. We all laugh. We all love. We all touch. We all stretch. We all exercise. We all eat right. We do, but we don't. because we don't know where it's supposed to go. So let this show be the torch. Let this be a light in the middle of a dark sea that sometimes has big waves. You know, 4 a.m., 2 a.m. when you can't sleep, when you've been overwhelmed, when your body aches, when no one cares. Let this just be a torch. Because where you're supposed to go to get to the other side, to make these feelings go away, you're supposed to learn to flood your body with opiates. Because all you're doing is finding out who you really are. What's underneath all those imprints, all those betrayals, all that diseased tissue is a physical experience of bliss in the body. And all the science is asking you to take a look at the science. This is not poetic, esoteric jargon. Picture number 27. Picture number 27. The way we talk to our children becomes their inner voice. Remember when you were a child? The way you were spoken to. Those imprints are stored as chemicals in your tissue. They have deranged your immune system. They have constricted the passages through which your body delivers blood, drains blood, delivers lymph and nerve flow. They have almost irreparably sometimes modulated, reorganized your circulatory system, your neurovascular system, your lymphatic system in ways where it does not function optimally. These problems build up. And at the root of it, it's the way you were spoken to as a child. Now, what does that have to do with endorphins? You can do all the therapy you want. You can go through all the exercises of healing. And where you have to go, where it all comes together, ultimately, is in your physical experience of what we call universal life force, of prana, of chi, of stuff we have not developed machines yet that hard science can unanimously agree upon as valid. And therefore, it doesn't exist. Go to the YouTube and look for a debate between Deepak Chopra and a guy named Michael Shermer. Michael Shermer is the editor, I think founder, of a magazine called The Skeptic. Very intelligent guy. But he's only in one side of his brain. And you have to understand the faux pas, the great defect of people who think that intelligence, that science synonymous with intelligence, that IQ, that all these aspects of what we call the right mind, all hinge on the notion that if you can't touch it, see it, define it, dissect it, it's not there. And the mistake is that if you can witness its results, but you can't see it, it's still not there. You know, Candace Pert said it in one of her interviews. It was really wonderful. She tells a story of back in the early days of North America being settled. She said something that was absolutely fascinating. I should have put the clip on, but I didn't. She's telling the story, as it was recounted, of the early American Indians seeing the early Europeans come on their large wooden ships to the coast. And her point was that those Indians staring out into the sunset were witnessing an event that was so colossal in its significance that the Indians did not see it. I have experienced moments like that with clients. I have seen people see things that were so big to them that they stared at it but didn't see it. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever watched somebody look at something that you're looking at that can't see what you're seeing. And deep down inside, as you reflect later on, you know that it was too large for them to see. I've experienced that with people a number of times. That's what Pert was recounting, a story, again, of the Indians on the coastline 500, 600, 700 years ago. So this was written down and recounted through the journals. Watching the ships come in, and they didn't see them. Frozen in fear, perhaps. Larger than their spiritual depth could grasp. Something that they couldn't wrap themselves around. And this is the mistake we make in science. This is why people fail. This is why they stay sick. You are constantly indoctrinated into the notion that if you cannot see it, it's not there. You know, we all sit back and go, well, you know, with the God thing, that's different. Nobody is going to tell you that God's not there, even though you can't see it, because you're going to very comfortably turn around and say, well, yeah, I can't see it, but I do see it. I see God everywhere, and you're going to smile, you see? Where the rubber meets the road is when you face your symptomology, you face your disease, and you latch on and associate to a feeling within your body that we can't measure, that we can't see, that science says is not there, as if that's the final word. And that's the chi experience. When you flush your body, when you flush your body, when you perform an enema, when you fast, when you eat the right foods, when you stretch your tendons, the question you have to ask yourself is, do you have pleasure? That's where you have to start. And you watch people make this mistake all the time. They'll walk in, you'll tell them what to do, they'll come back a number of weeks later, and what they want to talk about is their pain. You'll put them in a stretch, you'll show them what to do, and what they want to talk about is their pain. Don't take that simplistic, linear, low-return, high-investment mentality to your healing. Do not spend your money that way. If you're in pain, chronic pain, debilitating pain, I assure you, I am telling you this. There is pleasure in your experience. Find it. Your job is to find it. When your nutritionists, when your massage therapists, when your yoga therapists, when your psychologists, so on and so forth, give you these exercises, your job is to find the pleasure. Because if you do, it will grow. And it will grow to the point where you can feel it in your body like a light shining brightly. That's what we call the prana or the chi. Every culture's had a different word. Your job is to find it. Your job is to get outside your head. And if you think you're crazy and if you think this is nonsense, I want you to look at those articles. I put them there for you, those three articles. What do they have to do with what everyone in science is raving about? What was Candace Pert talking about? Get on YouTube. Go look. But understand that this is not a neck-up phenomenon. Too many of you experience this from the neck up and smile complacently. You have to take it to your body. You have to interpret every act. Someone tells you to do a cleanse or a fast, and it blows up on you. It disgusts you. It frustrates you. It doesn't produce the result you imposed upon it. You try an herb. You try a different food, and your body cringes and twists at the thought of it. Your body rejects the experience of it. Your body says, this made it worse. This is not for me. Your body may be clapping. It may be applauding. Have you developed a way yet? Do you understand when your mind is polluting the experience of your body? Could you imagine that what you call your disease is not your mommy-daddy stuff, is not the husband or wife that betrayed you. Could you imagine that really, for too long you've been listening to your head and not your being? Do you understand the distinction there? And again, this is why it is so fundamentally important to start to talk to the endorphins. Look for the pleasure in every little exercise in healing. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for the exercise of healing. That's what you invest your money in. You're paying for the process through which you navigate. You learn to navigate yourself to more pleasure in your healing. And that applies to your Parkinson's, your Alzheimer's, your cancer, your low back pain, your toenail fungus, your digestive disorders, your varicose veins, your sagging skin, your atrophied muscles. Find the pleasure. Find the pleasure. The physiological equivalent of that is to find the endorphin. 714-850-1007. One more person for my class tomorrow. We're going to bring a lot more science to it tomorrow. Can't do that on the air. Just this amount is enough for a lot of people. If you're lost in the process, that's another number you can call, 714-850-1007. Let me help you navigate your way, but look for the navigation. To know where you're going in a process is to get there. Otherwise, you spin. Dynorphin. I'm going to end it here. Picture 4, dynorphin. I want you to go to picture 4, slide 4 or 5. I mean, this to me was the topper. I read this in Guyton. Years ago, I read this in Arthur Guyton's book, Textbook for Medical Physiology. During the 80s, copies of the endorphin, 700 times more potent than morphine, 700 times more potent. They were called dynorphin. Since they were produced in the death process, dynorphin produced in the death process, 100 times more powerful than morphine. University medical students going into the death process to experience, the story was in Flatliners in the last decade, so on and so forth. Glory to God. 700 times more potent than morphine, dynorphin, and we make it every day. I'll leave you with that. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.